We start the day's other headlines with a decision by the Supreme Court to allow the Trump administration to strip legal protections for hundreds of thousands of migrants living in the U.S. Today's decision revokes a Biden-era program that gave temporary legal status to people from countries facing war and political turmoil. It opens up the possibility of deportation for some 500,000 people from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. And it comes after a prior ruling that revoked protections for about 350,000 additional Venezuelans. An immigrant advocacy group said today's decision would be, quote, devastating for those affected. Former President Joe Biden gave his first public remarks today since he was diagnosed with an aggressive form of prostate cancer that spread to his bones. Speaking at a belated Memorial Day service in Delaware, Biden did not touch on his cancer in his speech, but he later told reporters he's begun treatment and that his doctors are optimistic.
Your expectation is we're going to be able to beat this. There's no, it's not in any organ. It's my bones are strong. I've been benefited, so I'm feeling good.
Biden also pushed back on members of his own party who've questioned his mental and physical faculties while in office and whether he should have run for president. He said he has, quote, no regrets and that he would, quote, put my record as president against any president at all. Dozens of wildfires are raging in Canada's Manitoba province, forcing thousands to evacuate and threatening the air quality for millions in the upper Midwest of the U.S. Massive plumes of smoke could be seen from space, and they're forecast to travel south to Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Meanwhile, the western U.S. is dealing with its first major heat wave of the year. More than 18 million people are under heat alerts, with the potential for temperatures to top 100 degrees in some areas and even break records. That is, as scientists say in a new study, that half the world's population, about 4 billion people, suffered at least one extra month of extreme heat last year due to climate change. Nigeria's government has expressed its profound sorrow after flooding killed at least 111 people. Rescue efforts are underway in the market town of Mokwa, which is a major meeting point for farmers from the north of Nigeria and traders from the south. Torrential rains overnight caused the flooding that washed away homes and parts of a bridge. The region has been experiencing more severe floods in recent years, which scientists blame in part on climate change. Officials expect the death toll to rise as the search continues. In the Middle East, Israeli airstrikes killed at least 27 people in Gaza today as Hamas weighs a ceasefire proposal approved by Israel. Hospital officials in northern Gaza counted 12 bodies, including three women, after they received after airstrikes pounded the city of Jabalia. Hamas has so far given a cool response to the latest U.S. proposed truce deal, which would not permanently end the war. In the meantime, the U.S.-backed agency that's largely in charge of aid distribution in Gaza says today it's delivered more than 2 million meals in its first 4 days of operation. But the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation has faced criticism after chaotic scenes this week of desperate Palestinians scrambling for aid. In the UK, prosecutors accused a British man of deliberately using his car as a weapon when he drove into a crowd of Liverpool soccer fans earlier this week. Paul Doyle did not enter a plea during his first court hearing earlier today. He's charged with 7 counts, including dangerous driving and intentionally causing grievous bodily harm. The 53-year-old allegedly injured 79 people earlier this week during a celebration for Liverpool's Premier League championship. The charges carry a maximum sentence of life in prison if convicted. PBS filed a lawsuit today in U.S. District Court suing the president to block his executive order that would cut all of its federal funding. It follows a similar complaint filed by NPR earlier this week. The lawsuit, filed by PBS and Minnesota public TV station Lakeland PBS, says President Trump's order violates laws that, quote, forbid the president from serving as the arbiter of the content of PBS's programming. It also claims the order would, quote, upend public television, which airs everything from children's programming like Sesame Street to news like Frontline and this broadcast. Mr. Trump's executive order, issued earlier this month, demanded that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting cut funding to NPR and PBS, arguing they are politically biased. Wall Street ended the month of May on a quiet note following a hectic week dominated by headlines about tariffs. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added about 50 points on the day. The Nasdaq slipped around 60 points, or about a third of 1%. The S&P 500 ended the week virtually unchanged. And Taylor Swift is taking control of her entire body of work. The pop superstar said today she's bought her back catalog of recordings from their most recent owner, private equity firm Shamrock Capital. She did not say for how much. Swift has been re-recording many of her first albums since they were sold in 2019 as part of a larger acquisition of Nashville record company Big Machine. In a post announcing the news today, she said, quote, "The best things that have ever been mine finally actually are." And the Scripps National Spelling Bee has a new champ after a roller coaster night where the winner almost lost.
E-C-L-A-I-R-C-I-S-S-E-M-E-N-T.
Faizan Zaki of Texas fell to the floor in triumph after correctly spelling the French word éclaircissement, which roughly means clarification. Zaki was the runner-up last year. But it almost wasn't his night. The 13-year-old rushed and misspelled a word earlier in the evening, which allowed his two remaining rivals back into the competition. In the end, Zaki beat out eight other finalists to take home the grand prize of $52,000. Congratulations to him. Still to come on the NewsHour. Members of Congress face voter frustration at town halls over the Trump agenda. David Brooks and Jonathan Capehart weigh in on the week's political headlines. And author James Patterson discusses his new book on what he considers his most important role.
This is the PBS NewsHour from the David M. Rubenstein Studio at WETA in Washington, and in the West from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University.